be with you. Good to see all of you this morning. Glad that God has gathered us all here today. Still have some people traveling. Pete and Helen were hoping to catch a 6 a.m. flight out of California. So that would have been about maybe 2 hours or so ago our time. So I don't know if they caught it or not. They should be back maybe this week. We certainly miss them and bottom class and all. But glad that God has gathered all of you who are able to be here. And we'll continue to pray for those who are traveling. For our time of catechesis this morning, we continue with the table of duties. If you need to find that, it's on page 328. Last week, we talked about civil government, and this week, about citizens. And as I pointed out last week, there's a little bit different title for these two groupings, as we have it. Instead of two rulers and two citizens, it's sort of the government and of the citizens with an overlap to both the rulers and to the citizens in each. So the first passage that's listed here is from Matthew 22, where Jesus says, "Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." And those of you who remember that context for that passage, it involves looking at the coin and seeing the image of Caesar on the coin. And then people will usually say that you give the coin with Caesar's image to Caesar, and you give the human being with God's image to God. And today in the epistle reading, we'll hear more about that restoration of God's image in us. The second passage is from Romans 13, picking up where we left off last week in Romans 13. It is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. This is also why we pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants, who give their full time to govern. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. And so our submission to the governing authorities, insofar as they don't require us to go contrary to God's word, is explicit there, as well as taxes and revenue and respect and honor, all things that we are obligated to give to the government. And then from 1 Timothy chapter 2, St. Paul writes, "I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior." And so we do pray each week in the prayer of the church for those who govern us and others in authority. And the goal there, notice, is that we may live peaceful and quiet lives. So we want the government. We want the government to enforce laws so that we can have those peaceful and quiet lives. Next is from Titus 3. "Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good." Again, the subjection to the authority, the obedience, the doing of good deeds instead of evil deeds is clear in the passage of Titus. And then the last one here from 1 Peter, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right." So the equivalent in our country, I suppose we would say, as the ultimate supreme authority, we usually think of the president or the governor of the state, and then lesser authorities underneath them, being our county judges and our mayors and so forth. But all of them owe our submission or our subjection, and they should then also, as we heard Paul write in Romans last week, commend those who do right and punish those who do wrong. They bear God's authority to do that. The death penalty for something like murder is perfectly biblical, insofar as God gives that command and then gives the authority to carry it out to the government. questions or comments on citizens here in table duties? All right, then I invite you to turn to page 203, where you'll find the preparation for 74, and please stand if you're in. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Hear this, all peoples.
Hear, hear, all inhabitants of the world,
both low and high,
rich and poor together.
Truly no man can ransom another,
or give to God the price of his life.
For the ransom of their life is costly,
and can never suffice.
This is the path of those who have foolish confidence,
yet after them people approve of their boasts.
Like sheep they are appointed for Sheol.
Death shall be their shepherd.
But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol.
For he will receive me.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Hear this, all peoples.
Hear, hear, all inhabitants of the world,
both low and high,
rich and poor together.
To you, O soul.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, grant us wisdom to recognize the treasures you have stored up for us in heaven, that we may never despair, but always rejoice and be thankful for the riches of your grace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Today is the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. The appointed Old Testament reading is from the book of Ecclesiastes, the first and second chapters. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I applied my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity, a striving after wind. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun. Because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night, his heart does not rest. This also is vanity. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat and drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also, I saw, is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after men. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Feet of those who preach the good news,
who publish peace and bring good news of salvation.
Their voice has gone out to all the earth,
and their words to the ends of the world.
Epistle reading is from Colossians, the third chapter. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and in all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward.
Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Remain standing if you're able for the singing of the hymn of the day, number 782.
Thank you.
Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If you ever saw Cecil B. DeMille's 1956 movie, The Ten Commandments, or better, if you ever read the second chapter of Exodus, you may remember that one day Moses, prince of Egypt, saw an Egyptian being beaten by a Hebrew. I'm sorry, saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. It helps if I can tell the story correctly. And Moses then killed the Egyptian. And the next day, when Moses tried to intervene between two struggling Hebrews, one of them asked Moses, who made him a prince and a judge over them? That Hebrew man's words to Moses may have been familiar to the man in today's gospel reading, who commanded Jesus to tell his brother to divide the inheritance with the man. The Hebrew man, then, Jesus echoed his words as he answered the man's request, saying, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you? With the help of the Holy Spirit, this morning we realize that Jesus is not only the judge, but he is also the redeemer. Jesus' question to the man in the gospel reading is often taken as if Jesus was saying that he was not a judge or an arbitrator over the man, though that is not necessarily the only possible interpretation. People in Jesus' day took their inheritance cases usually to the Jewish rabbis or teachers, the scribes or lawyers, in order for them to settle the cases. But the man in today's gospel reading took his case to Jesus, arguably thinking that Jesus had at least some relevant authority. And Jesus' question to the man may have been intended to get to the man to realize just who Jesus was and just who put Jesus in place to carry out the role of judge. And also to realize that Jesus' judgeship covered more important things than just dividing inheritances, as the following parable of the rich fool perhaps shows, that Jesus' judgeship covered matters of eternal life and death. God made Moses a prince and a judge over the Hebrews, first as a prince of Egypt and later as a judge or leader sent by God from the burning bush. Like Moses before him, God also put Jesus in place as a judge, namely to judge the living and the dead. That Jesus is such a judge is bad news for us according to our sinful human nature. We may be caught up in disputes over inheritances of our own or be greedily fixated on what we leave for our dependents. As described in today's Old Testament reading, we may strive after wind. We may sinfully covet what others have and wrongly think that our life consists in the abundance of our possessions. We may foolishly think only of ourselves and make decisions without considering other people or even God. We may wrongly think that our ultimate rest and enjoyment depends on our laying up ample goods for many years. We may not, as we are called to do in today's epistle reading, set our minds on things that are above. Even though we do not trade in crops and barns, but in money and banks, we may lay up treasure for ourselves and not be rich toward God. If we do not sin in those ways, then we certainly sin in other ways. On account of our sinful nature and all of our actual sin, we deserve punishment here in time and in hell for eternity. God's judgment and his imposing his sentence upon us could come at any time. Not necessarily years from now, but even this very night. Or we may eat, drink, and be merry tonight, and tomorrow we may die. Unless our Lord returns first, whenever his judgment and sentence might come, God separates the soul from the body, and the body rests relatively briefly where we lay it, while the soul begins to experience the torment or joy of the existence in which the resurrected body will eventually join it for eternity. The Lord kills and makes alive, physically and spiritually. Before it is too late, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can turn in sorrow from our sin and trust God the Father to forgive us our sinful nature and all of our actual sin for his Son Jesus' sake. When we so repent, then God forgives us. When St. Stephen was brought before the Sanhedrin, he recounted the Hebrew man's question to Moses about who made him a ruler and judge over them. And St. Stephen eventually said that God had sent Moses as both a ruler and redeemer, as God sent Moses to deliver the children of Israel from slavery to Egypt. So God sent Jesus to deliver us from our slavery to sin. As true man, Jesus was able to die on the cross for us. As true God, his death was sufficient payment for the sins of the world. And Jesus' resurrection showed that God the Father accepted his sacrifice on our behalf. In today's introit, we sang the psalmist's words to all people, both low and high, rich and poor together, that no one can ransom another or give to God the price of a life. But God himself ransoms souls from the power of Sheol and receives us unto himself, giving us peace and joy. As we prayed in the collect of the day, God has stored up treasures for us in heaven. We are rich toward God the Father when by the power of the Holy Spirit, we trust in his forgiveness of sins for the sake of Jesus, the judge and the redeemer. We receive that forgiveness of sins here and now, as God's word is read and preached to groups such as this group, and as his gospel is applied to us individually, with water in holy baptism, with touch in holy absolution, and with bread that is the body of Christ given for us, and wine that is the blood of Christ shed for us in the Holy Supper. Our life is not in the abundance of our possessions, but our life is in Christ. Who he is, what he has done for us, and what he gives us through his word in all of its forms. All that we need, God completely gives us once in our baptisms. And then he gives it to us again and again in both absolution and the supper. Like the Israelites' manna, the supper is the bread that we need for this one day. Here, we truly have both relaxation or rest and can eat, drink, and be merry, all in Christ. So baptized, absolved, and strengthened and nourished in body and soul, we are transformed. As described in today's epistle reading, our life is hidden with Christ in God, and we put to death what is earthly in us. We put off the old self and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator, which image was at least partially, if not totally, lost in humankind's fall into sin. As Jesus commanded in today's gospel reading, we are constantly on our guard against all covetousness. Unlike the rich man whose land produced plentifully, we do not plan with our soul exclusively for ourselves. But like the Virgin Mary, our souls magnify the Lord, and our spirits rejoice in God our Savior, what he has done for us and does through us in our various callings in life. As we heard in today's Old Testament reading, we find enjoyment in our toil, and generously we give of the first fruits of our labor in order to support the work of God's kingdom in this place. When we fail in those or in other ways, as we will fail, with daily sorrow and faith, we live in God's forgiveness of sins for Jesus' sake. Like, but greater than Moses before him, God made Jesus the judge and the redeemer. By God's grace, we who repent do not live in fear of God's judgment and sentence that could be imposed at any time, but redeemed from our sins, we look forward to the full and final realization of his peace and joy whenever it might come. Thanks be to God, now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the treasure that you have laid up for us because you made Jesus our Redeemer and by the power of your Holy Spirit lead us to repent. Ever enable us faithfully to receive your forgiveness through your word and sacrament and to do the good works of your commandments according to our callings in life, until you require our souls of us. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord of the Church, you entrust the care of your people to your ministers. Give them what they need for your people's sake. Strengthen the persecuted. Unite in right teaching and practice the Missouri Synod, Texas District, and this circuit, pastors and people together. Call pastoral candidates and fill pastoral vacancies. Direct higher things as they are already planning for next year's summer conferences. And for this congregation, return absent members. Provide more teachers for our growing Sunday school and increase our offerings to you of your gifts to us. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Spirit, you are renewing us in your image. Work in us and in all of the baptized to put to death what is earthly in us. Strengthen us against all temptations, especially those temptations to sexual sin and to despair. Help us to set our minds on things that are above. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, you desire all people to be saved. Use us to reach those you place in our lives who have strayed from the faith and those who have never believed, that they may come here and join us in praising you. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you created all and preserve your creation. Grant seasonable weather according to your will, and rescue, relieve, and restore to those affected by flooding, drought, wildfires and their smoke, earthquakes and volcanoes. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God of heavenly hosts, you rule over all for the sake of your church. Grant peace and unity in the world, especially in the Middle East and between Russia and Ukraine, and in this country. Protect non-combatants in war zones. Direct those who govern us on every level of government. Make all people good citizens. And safeguard, uphold, and grant discernment to all those who serve in the U.S. Armed Forces and in police, fire, and corrections departments. Lord, in your mercy. God of land, sea, and air, we thank and praise you for the safe return of those who have traveled. And we ask you to guide and protect Brady, Pete and Ellen, Charles, and all who are traveling or will travel. Make their way safe and their homecomings joyful. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate Lord, your mercies never come to an end. Comfort those who mourn. Help victims of violent crime to feel safe again. Grant hope and patience to those imprisoned and their families. By your word and sacraments, be present with those who are shut in or otherwise homebound where they are. In your time and way, deliver from their afflictions David, Tracy, Margaret, Tina, Katie, Gwen, Bob, Jim, BJ, John, Anne, and all those in need of healing. And to that end, grant all necessary wisdom and skill to those who serve in medical professions. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, apart from you, no one can eat or have enjoyment. Help your people find enjoyment in their toil. Provide for the physical and spiritual needs of all families. Bring expectant mothers and their children safely through delivery. Give to all your people, especially those without spouses or children, the gift of contentment. Help us to better protect your gift of human life. And bless those preparing for another academic year of schooling. Lord, in your mercy. Lord and giver of life, we thank and praise you for the blessings of physical and spiritual life that you've given to Debbie, Arcille, and George. And we ask that you would continue to bless them with physical life according to your will. Help them to remember and to use their baptisms, and preserve them in their baptismal grace all the days of their lives. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Thank you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruit of his cross and receive the blessing of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
On us, Lord, we pray.
Oh.
Shed for you. Amen. This true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Amen. Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Thank you. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Participate or don't participate in that, talk to Don or to me.
Any other announcements?
Garden produce is restricted this week for new peppers.
Well, you have peppers.
Oh, we have.
Okay.
We have plenty of peppers.
And so there are some restricted peppers.
No, everything else is restricted. The heat is tight.
Okay. But there's plenty of peppers.
There's plenty of peppers.
And these are non-hot.
Right.
They're just cool. Sort of bell.
They're giant harmonies, which are very similar to bell, except they're real long and skinny.
Okay.
And people say they don't cause them to melt.
Okay.
And then the jalapenos that are cool.
Okay. So two different kinds of peppers, giant harmonies and the non-hot jalapenos. Just try saying non-hot jalapenos.
They both do good freezing.
Okay. Any other announcements? All right, look forward to greeting you all.